Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. Brought to you by MyPlates.com. Upgrade your license plate at MyPlates.com. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. It's John Massengill sitting with Les Kaiser and Jonathan Green back in the studio. Yeah.
Hey!
Welcome back, compadre.
Welcome back to the country.
Thank you.
I'm glad you got back here before the inauguration.
Oh, do we have to go to politics before we even got into
the show? I
think
it's a mandatory. You have to include it in every broadcast. So we're done. Let's move on with the fun stuff.
Exactly. I like that idea. Well, I'm fired up, man. We got a great show tonight. We've got some great guests coming on the show. We're going to talk about all kinds of cool stuff. Mostly Formula One, it seems like. A little bit of a road to Indy because we've got a gentleman coming on who just won a huge scholarship. Oliver Askew, he's going to come on because he won the scholarship to the Mazda Rose to Indy.
This is a big step.
And yeah, it's huge. It's
we're
a big story.
Talk to the man, Jeremy Shaw, about it. This is a cool
thing.
Yeah,
that's right. Tell us, we got Jeremy and Oliver.
Yeah,
right?
And Jeremy, you'll know, well, those of you who follow IMSA and sports car racing, Jeremy Shaw, former Brit like myself, now in the USA and has been for much longer than I have, and has been in motor racing here in the States for, well, since the dawn of time, actually. I think since the Iron Age, at least. And great guy, and has been in charge of effectively the scholarship that Oliver has won. And I think it's also fitting that we as Speed City are doing what we usually do, which is discovering the talent of the future, especially from the United States. And we want you to remember the new name that is Oliver Askew, because he's on the way up. He's just won a great scholarship, and we'll be talking to him in a moment, because that's what we're all about, is finding new youth. We did it with Alexander Rossi, and we know that the rest is history. We did it with Pippo Durrani. We've done it with several others, and I'll be doing it again in the Toyota Racing Series with a certain Mr. Shelby Blackstock.
That's right, yeah. Uh-huh. We interviewed him out of COTA years ago.
Yeah, we've had him a couple of times join us, and that'll be interesting. We'll try to get him, and let you get caught up on what he's doing before y'all head down yonder.
We're going country.
Y'all head on down that way.
Son, of course, of Reba McEntire. So he's already got a famous name, and never easy when you're a son of or daughter of somebody famous, especially in another industry. But actually, I think in some ways, kind of cool.
I know. Well, he's earned his stripes.
Les and I were talking about that. We were saying, gosh, every time you mention his name, everybody says he's the son of Reba McEntire. Is that a bad thing? Is it a good thing? And I was like, you got to use every tool you have to get noticed in this in racing. And you know, I don't blame him. I'd do it every time.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Les says, he's earned his stripes. It's not like he is living off a legacy by any means. He doesn't. There's no doors open for him. Ironically, I think of the man who really has a target on his back, if you want a target. And that, of course, is Mick Schumacher, who has just graduated from Formula 4 and has just signed, actually, in the last 24 hours, I believe, with Prima F3 for the future. One of the top teams, the top team. In fact, the team that Lance Stroll, that Nick Cassidy, it's the top team in Formula 3. So Mick Schumacher, obviously the son of Michael Schumacher, on his way up through the ranks. And what a pressure, what a legacy, what an interesting career choice and path he's taken. And you can see that there is more to it than just his pure love of driving. Obviously, given his father's situation and his father's legacy and the fact that we continue to hold a candle for Michael Schumacher, who was certainly statistically the greatest driver of all time, and sadly had a huge accident with his son, actually, with both his sons, while skiing. So brave, brave man, young Mick Schumacher, and I wish him well.
Yeah, that is interesting, and I hadn't even thought about, you know, he was there with his family when he had that skiing accident years ago. Yeah, so we've got all those guys coming on the show. We're talking all about Formula One. We're going to talk a little bit about the Liberty Media vote that's coming up. There was some interesting news about the Formula One F1 TV ratings on NBCSN and NBC, for that matter. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that.
Who's going to drive the Silver Arrows?
And that's the big story to start the show with.
Okay, let's just put his hand up.
Okay, Mr. Kaiser.
I can't even get in the AMG.
You ain't got a quiver, never mind an arrow.
I can't even get in the AMG at COTA today.
That's the closest you're going to get to a Mercedes, that's for sure.
Les Kaiser, do you have an opinion on who's going to be driving?
You know, I go two different ways.
We've heard that.
With the thought process. Thank you, sir. Fernando Alonso, an easy win. You know, when you talk about skill, talent, knows the F1 world, has previously been around Lewis quite a bit, and there was some turmoil there. But to me, that would be easy. But that's a money deal, too. Is he going to bring enough money? Or are they going to pay enough? And the other is their Mercedes driver.
Pascal Wehrlein, yeah.
You know, does Pascal come in at a cheap enough budget? He's proven. He sat in the seat when Lewis was out at one point here recently.
I think he's on the books.
He's in the Mercedes family already.
Yeah, and, you know, like you say, I think he's the shoe-in. Lee said it last week. It makes sense. And certainly, if you look at the sort of the way that the apple cart was rocked with two top drivers in the case of Rosberg and Hamilton, you know, obviously it can cause fraction and trouble within the team. And I think that if they want an easy course, they let Hamilton lead the team and they let the young guy learn.
And
but
I think that's great. And, you know, that's an easy mindset to fall in until you start thinking about Max. What did Max do? Max walked in, barged in.
He is locked.
Barged his way to the podium.
He is locked in a can of Red Bull and then let out for the races. I can assure you he is chained to the Red Bull logo. It's been,
correct. And my analogy with him is, so we bring in Pascal into Mercedes. Will he, you know, cooperatively have a mentor in Lewis, or will he go after Lewis as Max did?
Well, he'll go after Lewis if he's a smart kid. But I would have thought that the mind games, Lewis will dominate that team, or will want to dominate that team. And in fact, took control of that team in the last five laps of the last season, if you remember, by saying, I got this under control. I'm ignoring team orders. This is my team. This is my, you know, I will go for my world championship and I'm not going to obey your orders. You can throw engineers at any whoever you like, Rosberg. And I've been beating him for 18 years, which was a little bit petulant, I thought. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, I
totally agree with that.
Jonathan, we were talking before the show, and you basically were saying, same line of thinking here, but you're saying this is really, Hamilton's really kind of running the show right now.
It's his team, and this is what I love about the Formula One thing. This Rosberg decision has been Machiavellian in many ways because he's left them high and dry because now they had a situation where they had two really good drivers and two drivers capable of winning, right? And they had obviously a car that was capable of winning every race. Now the question is, who do you bring in? Because if you bring in a lesser soul, as you quite rightly point out, then frankly, the team is back with Lewis Hamilton, and he gets the say, and he gets to kind of waltz around a little bit, which is the wont of most teams. You have a lead driver and then a second driver. But look at Red Bull. Look at Ricciardo and Verstappen. It was Ricciardo's team once Vettel left, right? Because Verstappen's come in and been aggressive and already done in one season, first race, in fact. And then onwards, Ricciardo's managed to manage it very well because that's because the kind of temperament he has. But what if Raikkonen was starting to beat Vettel, as he has done a little bit, and does it all season long next year? I bet you would see a rather petulant Vettel. So that's how Formula One works. In some ways, I wish there wasn't the way they have literally two teams within one team in Formula One, because it does always cause problems. I wish it was like, well, it's the Mercedes one team and the Mercedes two team, and it's, all bets are off. You know, we're out to beat you. But the way it is, it seems to be manufactured a lot of the time.
Two things about that. One, I think we've already seen a petulant Sebastian Vettel.
We have. A very verbal one.
Yeah. Number two, I said something to you about Alonso going to... So Alonso and Hamilton at Mercedes. I mean, you said it, Les, but this would just explode.
Well, if you were able to pick Alonso and force him out of that Honda contract and say, listen, Fernando, you're the greatest driver in the world. You got two world championships. You should have four. You're not going to finish your career with a deserved record. The only way you're going to do that, God, I sound like Toto Wolff. The only way you're going to do that now is to join Mercedes for the next 3 years. Don't care what you do after that. Beat Lewis. Show Lewis that you're the best driver in the world because you have the same equipment. And pay back for 2008 when you guys went head-to-head and were both in a right mess with McLaren because it wasn't managed very well.
As long as Daddy Lowe doesn't step in and
he's
say,
gone.
Lewis,
he's gone. He's gone.
Back,
he's gone. Yeah. That's true. He's left today.
That's that's a whole nother story. But
is that official
I had
yet?
Issues.
Yeah, that's official.
You know, I liked what was happening online about that. After Patty Lowe stepped in, some folks on the internet started calling him Daddy Lowe because he was taking care of his boy.
Yeah.
Lewis let him by.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have our two guests. We're going to have Oliver Askew, who just won the USF 2000 scholarship.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, and Jeremy Shaw is going to be with him. So stay tuned to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after these quick messages.
The 57 Chevy, a Rembrandt painting, the little black dress. When you're a classic, you never go out of style. And now, MyPlates.com proudly announces the return of the classic black Texas license plate for the first time since 1968, featuring a cooler, timeless look and a bolder style. Visit MyPlates.com today to order this legendary classic black Texas license plate for your car or truck. Classic Black is back at MyPlates.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Dan Easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at MotoAustin.com.
There's nothing like getting on a motorcycle and exploring the hill country for the day. What about taking that bucket list ride of a lifetime to some far-off destination or event? We're here to tell you that you don't have to own a motorcycle, because with Lone Star Moto Rentals, you can rent a Ducati, BMW, KTM, or other premium motorcycles. visit LoneStarMotoRentals.com. That's LoneStarMotoRentals.com. And come ride.
When news happens, it happens here. Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, my name is Colette Davis, and you're listening to Speed City.
Ah, Colette. She didn't get a drive this year, but wherever she is, wherever she is out there in the speedway wacky world that is, fast things, look out for Colette Davis. Get her back in a rallycross car as soon as possible.
Heck yeah. All right, guys, we have a couple of our special guests holding on the line. Jonathan, you've been buddies with Jeremy Shaw for, I don't know, how long?
Since the Bronze Age, yes. Yeah, Jeremy is from the fine country that is, was the United Kingdom and has been in the US for probably, I don't know, best part of 25 plus years, I suppose. We worked together once on Indy. We've crossed paths on many occasion. And of course, he is one of the official voices of IMSA currently. But his real big project, or his real big passion, has been trying to find funding and find scholarships for young, up-and-coming American drivers. And I think that's why we certainly on Speed City love what he's all about. And it's a thing that goes all the way back to 1990. And we've got the latest sort of participant and winners tonight. So that, in a nutshell, is who Jeremy is, and hopefully we'll have him on the line. Jeremy, yeah. Are you there?
I am here.
Was that a rough?
You
was
can
that,
hear me.
I can hear you perfectly. Yeah, was that a rough intro? Roughly right.
It was rough. Yeah, it was great. It was fellow SKP, Jonathan.
I'll say it.
Fellow SKP.
Back.
Yeah.
Hey, man, great to hear you both.
Well, why don't you just give us a little potted history? Because you have been in the States and you for quite some time involved in Indy, involved in sports car racing, and continue to be so.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to come over here in 1985, it was, so over 30 years ago now, and I ran a racing magazine called On Track. I was the editorial director of that, which was a rather grand title, but it was a grand job. It was a fantastic magazine. It's no longer around, unfortunately, but it was a bi-weekly magazine, and I've been doing their I've been their European editor for quite a long time, and they offered me a chance to come over here, and the second attempt I took it. So I thought, well, that'd be fun to spend a couple of 3 years in the States. Well, 31 years later, I'm still here.
But listen, we want to talk, because we're going to get Oliver on in a minute, but tell us a bit about how the scholarship and how you have literally been running around the world finding drives and helping young Americans get to where they need to be.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've always tried to help youngsters right from when I started out writing about the sport, you know, myself back in the 70s in the UK. I always admired particularly the Brazilians that came over to Europe. It's a long stream, if you remember. Well, it's before your time, actually. But there's a string of them. And, you know, they'd come out of Brazil, completely different culture, completely different everything. Weather was a bit different as well in the UK compared to Brazil. And, you know, and they didn't speak the language, most of them. And, you know, that was a heck of a sacrifice. And I thought, look, I'm impressed by that, and I wanted to help as much as I could. And when I came over here, after I've been here a few years, one thing kind of led to another, and they were actually cancelling British Formula Ford races in 1990 because there weren't enough entrants. I thought, well, if it's going to be the last ever Formula Ford festival, wouldn't it be kind of fun if we could take an American over there, and if there aren't many entries, maybe he can do fairly well. It was a last-minute deal, but it all came together, and people like Rick Gallas and Val Valine came on board, and Steve Horn from Tasman Motorsports was an early supporter, and we went over to England with Jimmy Vassar, and 200-odd cars turned up for the Formula Ford Festival, so clearly it wasn't dead yet, and indeed it's still going today. So that's what started it all, and it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of grown and escalated from there. But we're still running the same sort of level. I mean, the goal always has been to find the funding to take these drivers on, you know, as far as we can. Well, that hasn't materialized, but at least we've been able to keep it going. We're giving, you know, a bunch of a long list now of young, talented drivers an opportunity to get on the ladder, so to speak, and make some introductions to them and help them along their way. And if you look at the list of alumni over the years, it's pretty impressive, actually, and I think a testament to, you know, what we've been able to do to raise the profile of these youngsters an early stage in their careers and give them a leg up on the ladder.
Yeah. Hey, Jeremy, let's talk about that list of alumni. What are some of those? Who are some of those names?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, the first one was Jimmy Vassar. The second one was Brian Herta. Well, you know, they both went on to win IndyCar races and all championships in Jimmy's case. And well, ironically, they've both now won the Indy 500 as team owners, for goodness sake. They're long since retired as drivers, or pretty much, although Brian had a bit of a comeback last week, I think, at the 25 Hours of Thunder Hill. But they both won the Indy 500. Brian twice now as a team owner. Other guys over the years, Buddy Rice, he won the Indy 500 in 2004. Phil Giebler was Rookie of the Year at the Indy 500. And then lots of sports car drivers. Andy Lally, Paul Edwards, you know, all champions. Dane Cameron, who won this year's IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Brian Sellers. The name goes on. AJ Allmendinger is now still in NASCAR now. Yeah, it's an impressive list. And this year at the Indy 500, we have six drivers. Six of our alumni were in that race in this year's Indy 500. That's kind of cool.
Jeremy, that's really amazing. I mean, honestly, that's incredible.
Well, it is, and what's cool about it is that, you know, these lots of people get behind the program, and it's an opportunity to give something back to the sport, and I think that's what drives people to get involved in it. We've got a good list of supporters now. Chip Ganassi, Roger Penske, they're both involved in the program on a relatively small level, but, you know, everything helps. And, you know, maybe one of these years, we've been doing it now for, you know, 26, 7 years, maybe one of these days we'll get the proper funding to take these kids all the way. But for right now, at least, I'm happy doing what we're doing. And it's got to be one of the longest running driver development programs in the world, I would think.
Yeah, it's really just incredible. And I'm excited. Let me ask the producer, have we got Oliver on the line? Yeah, Oliver's with us. So Jeremy, why don't you introduce Oliver, because he's just fresh off winning this scholarship. Let's talk about him.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. He's 19 years old for another few hours at least.
Yeah, happy birthday. Let's be the first birthday. To say it.
What'd you get for your birthday this year? $200,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's been trying to. He's a very accomplished karter. Won everything there is to win in karting, not only in this country but even overseas as well. He's been winning. But he's been trying now for years to make a break into the car racing ranks. And, you know, like many others, he's found it difficult. I think, more than anything else, he didn't really have the right connections, perhaps. And that's what we've been able to do with this program now. And you know, I first spoke to Oliver back in, I think it was the end of May, properly. And I said, look, I can't continue for the scholarship until you're driving a racing car. So do whatever you can to get in a racing car, and then we'll take it on from there. Well, he took me to my word and went to the Skip Barber weekend and Road America, won one of the races, got thrown out of it afterwards, I think, or got moved back because he exceeded the track limits. But I got really good feedback from the guys at Skip Barber, which is a great training ground for drivers over the years and has been now for an awful long time. But about Oliver's attitude and an approach to the sport, and you know, everybody there was impressed. So I thought, okay. So I invited him to we have an interview process during the IndyCar weekend at Mid-Ohio. And all sorts of people come along there. Mike Hull was there from Target Championship National Racing, a whole bunch of former scholarship winners. Joseph Newgarden was part of it. The guys from Mazda, from Honda, all sorts of people interviewed these drivers, and we picked six of them to go do a shootout, which is down in Florida at the Lucas Oil School of Racing. And we picked Oliver and Carl Kirkwood, who coincidentally lives in the same town, and these two have been karting buddies for years and years and years. They went over to England, both did a fantastic job while they were over there. They were super competitive. Oliver was on the podium in five of his six races up there, which is pretty remarkable. The Walter Hayes Trophy at Silverstone, there were 115 entries. He finished second in the final.
Wow.
Brilliant effort. Really, really impressive. And then he came back over here, and he was one of 20 drivers that were invited to take part in the Mazda Road to Indy $200,000 USF 2000 scholarship, which took this place this last week at Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca. And he came here, you know, with the right attitude. He was supposed to race at the Scusa Supernats, big karting event on a parking lot in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago. He elected not to do that. He'll tell us all about this, but he asked me for the intro, so I'm giving it. He elected to pass on that, concentrate on getting ready for this shootout, because he knew what a great opportunity it was. Well, he took the bull by the horns, won the scholarship, and now he's got $200,000 from Mazda to put towards a program in next year's
Qatar's
US 5000 championship powered by Mazda, which is, you know, as you know, the first step on the Mazda road to Indy. And, you know, he's off and running now, isn't he? Let's find out.
Yeah, and on that note, the price is right. Come on down, Oliver. I mean, what an intro. Oliver, ask you, welcome to Speed City.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, no problem.
We got you.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so we just obviously got Jeremy on the line as well, and we've just heard a fantastic story about how you got there, and wow, what an unbelievable thing to be pitted up against your I guess good buddy, but also closest rival. Yeah, used to be. Yeah, you got the money, but that's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I think Jeremy covered most of it there. You know, the past couple of months has been a whirlwind, and you know, I'm very happy to have met Jeremy, and I'm very happy to move forward and into next year.
And give us an idea, either one of you actually, about, because we always hear about the road to Indy, but you know, in terms of that ladder, so you effectively gone to, you know, you've done karting obviously to the highest level, but this will this be effectively your first real major slicks and wings kind of adventure?
It will. This will be my first full season in a race car.
Wow. And what is the ladder? What is the progression next for you?
Yeah, you know, the Mazda Road to Indy is all about, you know, the different classes, and Mazda puts up scholarship for each champion of the classes. So it goes from USF 2000 to Pro Mazda, which is a new car in 2018, Indy Lights, and then IndyCar.
And it's an amazing program. Yeah, I mean, there's scholarships at every level, literally to take kids from all the way from the grassroots of the sport, like Oliver's come, all the way up to you know, to the Indy 500. Spencer Pigot is kind of the poster boy. He got four scholarships along the way, including, or not including, I should say, Team USA scholarships as well. And this year, there he was in the Indy 500. And, you know, he comes from a very modest background, but he made it all the way up there on talent and scholarships from Mazda. Amazing. Nothing like it in the world, guys.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, while I've got you both on, I really want to talk. We've talked a lot about Formula One, and we do on the show, of course. And it's interesting, the subject, if you will, of money and what it takes to go racing these days has changed in the last 30 years, without a doubt. And there's no question that as we talk to a young 19, soon 20-year-old, you know, it's just as hard as it ever was. But now, the cost are more and more as we go racing. I mean, you know, it sounds a lot, 200,000, but will that cover you this year, Oliver?
Yeah, it'll cover a huge amount of it. I still need to find a little bit of funding, but that's enough to go racing, you know. I'm really happy and really fortunate to have been chosen. And, you know, I'm more determined than ever to make it happen and win the championship next year. Like Jeremy was talking about Spencer Pigot. A huge inspiration to me, and I want to follow in his footsteps.
You know who Oliver sounds like to me? He reminds me of? He reminds me of Alexander Rossi. Yeah.
About 5 years ago.
Well, because he's got that. Yeah, exactly. But he's got that. You can just hear it in his voice. This is a determined, serious race car driver. He's
methodical.
Oliver, I hope that's a compliment to you, but it just seems like that's
it is
that you're very serious about your craft.
Yeah, thank you. I am.
Well, you know,
yeah, that's what it needs to be, Leslie. I mean, you're absolutely right, because, you know, it takes that focus. And I think both he and his buddy Kyle and all the other scholarship candidates this year, I'm not sure that honestly they really understood what it takes. You know, you talk about making the move from carts to cars, and, you know, you've got to find the money, yes, but there's so much more to this sport than just finding the money. It's making the connections, the right place, the right time, and, you know, there's so many factors in there, and that's, I think Oliver, it's fair to say you've probably got a better grasp of that now over the last, let's say, couple of months.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm a first generation racer, and I haven't come from much, and you know, it's really all about knowing the right people, you know, making the right moves, making those phone calls, and you know, performing on track also plays a big part of it.
I like that expression, first generation racer, because you do forget
that.
The fraternity of Formula One, and it is very kind of cyclical. We've just got a world champion who's just quit, but who was the son of a Formula One world champion.
Racing. It's
exactly.
You see it so common.
Yeah, you see it on the football field.
Yeah, it's true too.
True. It's true of all sport, I think. If you've got, you know, somebody, a connection, a father, an uncle, whatever, that can introduce you to the coach, introduce you to the team manager, it's got to be an advantage. I mean, and I would have thought, and like you say, in your expansion, from going back to those early days in Formula Ford and taking those guys over them, how much has that world changed?
Yeah, no, it has. I always used to say, you know, it's really no more difficult now than it used to be back in the day. You know, back when I was doing it in the 70s. And if I hark back to let's go back to 1975. There were two kids from Ireland who appeared that year, and they had no money. They're from sort of back streets of Dublin, and they found the money to go racing by going down to Australia for 18 months, working in an iron ore mine. There was nothing to spend their money on down there, even if they wanted to. But they knew that they had a game plan. Come back with enough money to buy a Formula Ford car each, which is what they did. And they both made it to Formula One, which is a fantastic story. Derek Daly is one of them, wow, and David Kennedy the other.
I remember, I know both of them. Yep.
In the sport.
Yeah, I saw David Kennedy at Macau a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you would have done. That's exactly right. And you know, that's dedication. And you don't sort of see that dedication nowadays. But having said that, you cannot raise the sort of money that you need these days to do that anymore, and that's what makes it, you know, more and more difficult. Personality and charisma only goes so far, and particularly nowadays, you've got to make those connections. Without those connections, you're going nowhere. And that was always the case back then, because both of them found wealthy guys, benefactors, who took them up through the ranks, and then they were introduced into Formula One, and they're off and running. Well, the same sort of things happens, does happen now, but it is more and more difficult, I must say.
Oh, well, hey, Jeremy, let's take a quick break. Can you guys stick with us through the break?
Yeah.
Great. Well, we're going to take just like a 2-minute break. You're listening to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, with Oliver Askew and Jeremy Shaw. We'll be back after these messages.
I am an official Texas license plate from MyPlates.com, and I'm here to say it's time to get personal, people. Tell the world who you are with a personalized plate from MyPlates.com, like me. I'm talking favorite color, favorite team, favorite charity, and, of course, favorite state, Texas. Add your own message, and then the magic really happens. I'm the official Texas license plate from MyPlates.com, and I want to be your license plate. Go to MyPlates.com and order me today. Now that's what I'm talking about.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Want to drive your car at speed on Circuit of the Americas? Edge Addicts is your source for more COTA events and more COTA track time. Whether you're looking to host your own event or just be a part of the action, Edge Addicts can get you in the driver's seat and racing like a pro. All levels of drivers and all types of cars are welcome, with instructors available for first-time and novice drivers. Life is short and adventure is around every corner, so plan your high-adrenaline experience with Edge Addicts at edgeaddicts.com. Edge Addicts, it's better when you're driving.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
You don't need to make huge changes to reduce your energy consumption and save some money every month. It's easy to save energy. Turn off lights when leaving a room. Put lids on pots when cooking. Get a power strip that allows you to turn off items that are energy hogs, such as cable boxes or TVs. And don't leave your phone charger plugged in when you aren't using it. It continues to use energy. More tips and ideas are at onethingus.com. Find your one thing.
Hi there, my name's Derek Bell. This is Speed City.
Good job on the music choices, Les Kaiser. I've had my headphones turned up all the way on both of those songs. I love it.
Margo's out to 11.
Well, if you just want to go in the other room and listen to music, that's fine. We got better things to talk about.
All right, we're gonna continue the conversation with Jeremy Shaw and Oliver Askew. And Oliver, I want to start with you because I want to talk about, now, all the congratulations. It's great. But the work has got to be done next year. Let's talk about kind of the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
You know, when does the season begin? What's, you know, tell us about the car, the differences, all those things. So let's talk about the actual racing next year.
Yeah, you know, the season will begin, I think it's March 23rd. That's the IndyCar weekend at St. Pete. You know, we race with IndyCar.
No pressure then.
no pressure. I think it's pretty cool. So, yeah, the season's going to start there. It's 8 weekends. We travel all around the U.S., haven't decided on which team I'm going to race with yet. That will be announced within the next few weeks.
Ooh.
And testing starts in January.
So you'll be back on the show in the next couple of weeks then to announce that. Good.
There you go.
Right. Yeah.
Well, in terms of what your expectations are, obviously this is the deep end. You've been given, a helping hand, but as you well know, I guess that puts a target on your back. But I know that listening to you, and even though I don't know you that well, like I said, you're ambitious. You've got your ambitions. What are you setting yourselves out for? What is your 3-year plan?
I'd like to follow in the footsteps of people like Spencer Piggott. You know. It'll be a lot easier on me if I can win the scholarship every year and build that relationship with Mazda and move on. You know, I've met so many people the past couple of months, you know, through Jeremy Shaw and through the scholarships, and my contact book is very large now, and I'm very confident that we can progress. And you know, back to what Jeremy was saying before, about 66% of all of his drivers through the Team USA scholarship have gone on to become professional racing drivers. So I think that's a really cool statistic, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
That is a pretty phenomenal statistic.
Hey, so yeah. Jeremy, I know once before we had a lot of the newer drivers come through Circuit of Americas for a testing session. You know, unfortunately, we don't get to see them race here, but we saw them here on testing. Do you know if that's on schedule for this year?
Yeah, I don't. They haven't decided where the end of season test is going to be. I think it was at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway last year, and probably will be again. I think it's not quite as expensive for Circuit of the Americas, unfortunately, which plays into effect. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we know how expensive the sport is, and Indianapolis has a lot of cachet as well. So far as the drivers and teams are concerned, you know, those are probably the two favourite tracks in all of the US. So it would be fantastic to get back to Circuit of the Americas, and I hope they do at some stage in the future.
Absolutely, Oliver. I've got to ask you: have you been to the Circuit of the Americas?
I have not. I've only seen it on TV, and I want to go there.
Soon. Well, now you know somebody, so come on.
Well, there's room in the commentary booth for you anytime, my friend.
Yeah, thanks.
We see Jeremy a couple of times a year, so just, you know, carry his bags or something.
Now, listen, we have a tradition. Yeah. We have a tradition on Speed City, and I want both of you to answer this question first of all, because we've got some serious questions for you. But first of all, what are you riding in right now? What are you driving at the moment?
What's your
first
everyday
of all,
vehicle?
Yeah, yeah. What, Oliver? What do you got? What you got going?
I drive a Volkswagen Golf, but
GTI?
I'm going to be trading that in soon for a Mazda.
A GTI? Oh, yeah, Mazda. Nice work. But
Mazda
is that
speed,
a GTI?
Sure.
Is that a GTI?
Yeah, it is.
Ah, yeah. That's a good car.
And the next is Mazda Speed,
and
correct?
And has the SUV going, yeah. Jeremy?
Yeah, no, I don't have an SUV. I've got a 1993 Mitsubishi 3000 GT.
Ah, okay. Ooh, that's
one new car. Car I bought in my life, and it might well be the last. Actually, hopefully, I'll be able to keep it for a lot longer. Though
that's
I love it. It's still a fantastic car to drive.
Yeah, I bet.
I took that car out when it first came out. It was twin turboed and all wheel steering.
That's the VR4. Now, mine's a regular two-wheel drive one. I couldn't afford the VR4. Plus, I did actually drive both before I bought this one. And, yeah, the VR4 was super fast with twin turbo, but it's really heavy. And the 3000 GT, the regular car, just it's a six-cylinder, and it sings along, and it's the handling. It's fantastic. It's one of the best handling cars I've ever driven. I love it.
Yeah, those were a big deal when they they came out. What was that, like 1990 when they first
hit?
That's
about right. Yeah. I was shopping and I had to have a back seat.
It's a second generation one. And they changed the body slightly in 95 with a slightly different rear wing. And I think the car I have, it's 93, 94. I love it. It's a great looking car. And even now, you'd never know it was 22 years old. It's amazing, actually, how many comments I got on it when I'm just driving it around.
You don't see many.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, my
it's worth next to nothing now. I was looking it up on the Blue Book thing a year or so ago, and it's worth next to nothing. Well, it's worth a lot more than that to me, so I'm going to hang on to it.
Well, now listen, while I've got both of you, and you are coming from different ends of the spectrum, but I want to know, talking of opportunity, who is going to drive the fastest car in the world next year against the fastest driver in the world next year, i.e. the Silver Arrows in Formula One against Lewis Hamilton as his teammate? Who, Jeremy, first of all?
God, yeah, good question. As I tell you what, the phones will have been humming in Brackley the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and Pillow Talk with Susie Wolf would have been pretty good too.
Sheesh, yeah. I really don't know. It's a tough one because all the big guys are all signed up and they say they're not going anywhere. I see they've offered a chance to Valtteri Bottas, I think today, didn't they? And initially that offer has been turned down by Williams. They say. Go away.
Yeah, but what about Valtteri? Williams will turn it down.
No one's home.
But if he does go, it puts Williams in a really tricky situation because they've got a 19-year-old rookie who's never done F1 races. He's only ever done F3 to that level. That's a big jump from F3 straight to Formula One. I mean, not very many people have done that jump successfully. Kimi Raikkonen is one, although I still think if he'd have gone all the way up the ladder, he'd have been much more than a one-time Formula World champion by now. Mm. Ayrton Senna did it, and Alain Prost made the same jump. Yeah, they turned out fairly good, and clearly amongst the best of the best. Whether Lance Stroll is that same caliber, we don't know. And of course, Jos Verstappen did the same, of course, didn't he?
Yeah.
But whether Lance is the same, we'll find out. But it's certainly going to be a tall order of him to be the kind of team leader next year. So if Valtteri Bottas does take the plunge, I don't know. They're going to be a tricky situation.
Who do you think, though, should get the Mercedes
button back again?
But who do you think? I mean, all right, Valtteri's one of them, but who do you think Mercedes will go for?
It wouldn't surprise me to see Jenson Button.
Wow.
Ah.
Interesting.
Only because he's still a heck of a driver. Look, he would be a great. He's already been as a teammate with Lewis before. They got along great, and I think he can do exactly what Mercedes needs him to do. He would be my first pick, to be perfectly honest.
Or Alonso would be more fun for us for the opposite reasons.
Yeah, geez. Yeah, I think Toto Wolff has probably been there, done that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
let's hear from Oliver.
I got to say, Oliver, you're an up-and-coming guy, and I'm sure you study the form guide very closely. What are your thoughts?
He reckons it's going to be Oliver Askew.
That's a good question. That's a good point.
No, I'm signed up for USF 2000 next year.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Right answer. So you told them no. Okay,
right
gotcha.
Answer. So who do you think, though? Seriously, you're watching it.
Yeah, I can see Pascal Wehrlein racing there next year. You know, he's a German driver. You can see in the past they've always had the German British duo or both German. So he's already in the program.
Yeah, here's a question for you. We talked about this at the top of the show. What is his? I mean, obviously he's won DTM. He's good. He's fast. He's he knows what he's doing. But what is his approach next year? Does he play second fiddle then if he comes in to Lewis, or does he try to do a Verstappen and say this is my town?
No, as a racing driver, you push 100%, and whatever happens. I think he's going to give it his all. They have the first driver, second driver, whatever, but. He's a racing driver. He's going to do his best.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I agree. Well, listen, Oliver and Jeremy, we thank you guys so much for coming on Speed City. Oliver, we're so excited for you. Congratulations.
Well, he's coming on in a couple of weeks' time to tell us.
That's true. He's going to come back.
What he's driving.
You should do it in person. We serve barbecue.
Mexican food and barbecue. It's Austin, Texas, baby.
That's how we keep Jeremy coming back around.
Jeremy likes it here.
Well, thanks a lot, guys, for coming on the show. And Jeremy, congratulations to both of you guys. Oliver, for what you just got through doing. And Jeremy, this is really amazing what you've done all these years. sponsors, and we really appreciate it.
We owe a big thank you. Yes, yeah, flat out absolutely. To Jeremy. I mean, as the motorsports fans we are, you're bringing in somebody.
Turn out okay
new.
In the end.
With a little help.
All right, guys.
Well, thanks very much. It's a lot of people make this scholarship happen. Just not just me. So, but thank you. Always a lot of fun, and I hope to see. Well, I will see you next year at Circuit of the Americas. Can't wait.
All right.
Cool. Thank you,
Oliver. Talk to you
Travel
soon.
Safe, guys.
Happy birthday, Oliver.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
Yeah, but right. I'm not getting anything like that for my birthday this week.
Nah. No $200,000 checks in the stocking?
I'm open to it. I'm totally receptive.
A new car!
You're receptive to that?
I am receptive.
All right, well,
I'd be happy if Anna just turned one of the gliders for me. I don't need a new car, anyway.
Yeah, I did play with one today, and so I'd kind of like to check that out.
Oh, man, we are going to talk about that.
Ah, yes!
That photo that you sent, when you sent that photo of that AMG at the top of the hill and turned one at Circuit of the Americas today, I thought that was a press photo. I was like, and you took that with an iPhone. I was like, that is a fantastic photo.
Is.
So we're going to hear about, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear about Les's visit out to Circuit of the Americas to the AMG Academy out there. And we're going to hear an interview you did with one of the chief drivers, instructors
That's
out there.
That's right.
All right. So stick with us. Live from Austin, Texas. Be back in just a couple of minutes.
Coming to ya on a dusty road. And when you get it, you got something. So don't.
Welcome to Name Your License Plate. I'm Biff Biffington. All right, Mary Lou, for the cash, the trip, and a new car, name your license plate.
Easy. My plate is ADD24. ACL, ATM, ABC, ACDC, AAA. I can't remember my plate.
You should have gotten a personal Texas plate from MyPlates.com. They're so memorable.
And I could have saved 40% with a 5-year commitment.
Be a winner and order your personalized license plate from MyPlates.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
The racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Here, when you need us, Talk 1370 is the right choice.
I think I'm going to Kathmandu. That's really, really where I'm.
This is Alex Gurney. This is Speed City.
Alex Gurney, we haven't had him on the show in a while.
Nuh-uh.
We'll get his chance again.
What was it called? The Red Dragon? Is that what it was?
Yeah. There you go.
I believe so.
The Geico Red Dragon, I believe it was. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll get them back around. They're making some changes as well.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw this to you, Les, because you talked to the Mercedes guys. They're still out there all week. But yeah, tell us about what's going on.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, you can't sign up right now, it doesn't seem. But this is really one of their top weeks for the AMG Driving Academy. You can come in here, scratch zero, no experience, and graduate through their driving schools and the progression. They actually have somebody here from Australia that is here to spend the week graduating through all the processes. And when she finishes, she will be completely ready.
She's a Sheila then.
Yes, she is.
Rocky.
And she'll be able to go totally out into the SCCA competition levels and
look out.
The series. And so it's a fantastic, but
great opportunity.
And a great, chief instructor, AJ Alsop was out there, and he's managing the entire academy instructional piece.
Yeah, and I was just looking on the website, and you can sign up for 2017 at amgacademy.com. But yeah, AJ Alsop was the, he's the chief instructor, right?
Yeah, he is. And he's got quite a racing background on it. And so, what a great guy to have sitting there with you. And because these cars are a bit different than a lot of folks deal with. They're a solid GT car, and they've got all of the AMG line there. So you get and experience quite a few of them. But let's go into that. Great time meeting them.
There's always something going on at the Circuit of the Americas, and this week is one of my favorite brands. Mercedes-AMG is out here, and you know, it's always great. You know, we certainly know a few of their drivers. We're going to introduce you to AJ Alsop, and AJ's their head instructor here. AJ, welcome to Speed City. Welcome to Circuit of Americas.
Well, thank you very much. This is one of my favorite racetracks, so I'm super pleased to be here.
Well, great. You know, let's get a little background on you. How'd you land in the head or chief instructor's seat? What'd you do to get there?
Well, I've had kind of a long racing career. I grew up at the racetrack. My father, Bill Alsop, was an IndyCar driver, raced in the late 70s, early 80s, ended up driving for Roger Penske. And then my brother, Nipper, and I ended up in NASCAR series, worked our way up through some of the touring series there. And then ultimately, I drove a NASCAR Busch Grand National car in 2001, 2002, a little bit. And then I went on to do some instructing. Started off instructing with the Richard Petty driving experience, and then did my first event with AMG in 2003. I've been madly in love with the brand ever since.
Well, there's certainly enough reason to fall in love with it, but the voice or the rumble in the background, some of the fleet of these cars. Tell us a little bit about this one.
We're standing here next to an AMG GTS Edition 1. This is the limited edition on the first year of the rollout of the GTS. It features a super cool paint job, a fixed wing, and, of course, that signature rumble that we're listening to right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great. You know, beautiful car. You know, this is the one without the gold wings, the fold-up doors. But, you know, it always sounds great. These are the cars, folks, that you'll see and hear Formula One weekend for the safety cars and the ops cars.
That's exactly right. And as you know, those cars really have to hustle just to keep up with caution pace with the Formula One cars. And this is the perfect vehicle to stay ahead of that field.
So tell us about some the technology that may not be common to most automobile brands here.
Well, one of my favorite things that our vehicles are featuring these days is the Dynamic Select. And what Dynamic Select allows you to do is at the touch of a button change the overall characteristics of the car. So it used to be that you know, you had your comfort mode, your sport mode, and your sport plus mode, which essentially changed the shifting parameters of the transmission. Well, we've taken that one step further, and Dynamic Select now affects the ride quality, it affects the engine mapping, it affects the shifting, it affects steering feedback. So you can really dramatically change the overall character of the car with the push one button. It also has an individual mode, which allows you to store your preferences, much like presets on your radio. So you push a button and it puts the car exactly where you want it. So if you want to sneak out of your neighborhood in the morning in comfort mode and then let it rip once you get to the expressway, you have that option with one push of a button.
You know, I didn't realize you lived down the street from me, but I'm known to do such a thing. But really cool car, you know. But this week is honestly, it's a dream come true for a lot of these folks. Tell us what's going on with the AMG Academy.
So the AMG Driving Academy is an international driving school. It's set up in multiple levels. So the people that are here with us today are here for our basic level program. This is designed for anybody of any skill set to come out and learn more about the cars, learn more about driving, from the fundamentals of just hand placement on the steering wheel and braking techniques, right up to some more advanced techniques like line selection on the racetrack and trail braking, different techniques that you'd use in high-performance driving. After the basic program, then you graduate up to the advanced two-day course, where we just continue to ratchet up the intensity. We get a little bit more track time, a little bit more speed, and go into more details about the physics and dynamics of high-performance driving. Beyond that, we have our pro program, which is a two-day program. Again, the intensity continues to increase. On the second day of the pro program, with your instructor's blessings, you'll be out doing open lapping in an AMG GTS on the track. Then our pinnacle level here in the U.S. is our Pro Plus program. It's a three-day program, and if you can meet all the parameters that we set forward, then you can actually graduate that school and be eligible to apply for an SCCA Master's license, which will allow you to race in any series that the SCCA sanctions.
All righty. Well, tell us, how do we get enrolled in such a course here?
Well, the best way to keep track of us is to go to our homepage, www.amgacademy.com. That'll give you all the information you need. There's also some great videos and images up there on that website, and you'll get a pretty good feel for what we do out here. And I'm sure if you visit that and you're a car nut, you're going to want to come out here and play with us.
We've got a few of those around Speed City. AJ, thanks again. Glad to have you back in Austin, certainly here at the Circuit of Americas, and we look forward to seeing you next trip.
Thank you very much.
That's pretty cool, Les.
Yeah, I hope that background noise didn't distract you too much, but okay. It was positively awesome.
No, I want to know if you've got about 60 seconds of that I can just play and play.
I bet AJ can arrange that.
It's awesome.
The cars were phenomenal, and they go through all the different aspects. And what's really great is they kind of work a rotation of the track. You work a section at a time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Go to GT Academy or AMGAcademy.com, and it's really awesome. But hey, somebody tweeted at us a while ago, and I want to follow up on this. Jonathan, you were talking about this the other day. The 24-hour series that's coming to Austin.
the Hankook 24 hours at COTA. That will be November 9th to the 11th at the Circuit of the Americas. And that should be really interesting. First time we've had a 24-hour race. And it's open effectively to, if you like, a more production-based GT car and down below, so it kind of tends to attract a different crowd than we've seen at sort of IMSA, WEC, and so on. But yeah, 24-hour race, awesome.
Yeah, no, wait a minute. You say it's a little different. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is they race also at Dubai, Mugello, places like that. But it's in terms of the actual specs of the car, it's a lower spec, if you will, than the big superheroes that we get, in IMSA and.
But a 24-hour race coming to Austin, boys and girls.
And
that's
when I say
cool.
It's a lesser thing, I mean there's some really great cars,
well,
and some great drivers. But it's kind of aligned to the the smaller.
Yeah, I was looking at, I think it's, let's see, COTA is November 9th, 10th, and 11th is that weekend. So,
yeah, it's kind of cool, huh?
Well, yeah, but think about that. All the other races we've got at COTA now. Now, you've got the Pirelli World Challenge. Jonathan, you're Mr. Calendar on all these. Early in the year.
Yeah, that's Pirelli World Challenge is coming in fact, that's in September. We've also got IMSA coming in May.
That's right, because they're split now with WEC.
Yep. WEC, of course, in September. We got Formula One in October. Obviously, we kick off in terms of major championships, MotoGP in April. Exciting times. And just as we'd expected, and I 100% agree with what Lee said last weekend, Lee Diffie, we do not need another badass circuit. We got one, and it's expanding its calendar. Formula One's going from success to success, as it should do. But now we've got an extended calendar next year at the Circuit of the Americas. So, yay!
You know, that was an interesting thought. I want to get a couple more stories in, but that I've kind of gone back and forth about should we have another circuit, what's good for growing Formula One in the United States or not. But Lee made a pretty compelling argument for that last week. So.
It did, but I go both ways on that one, just like Les on that thing, because literally because you're right, because we need to grow the sport, and I do think that one drop in the ocean each year is not enough to get enough interest, and I think actually Les's idea last week was perfect, which is put Canada and Circuit of the Americas back to back, or at least align it better so that you have a sweep through. America, South America, Brazil, and Circuit of the Americas, because we do need more exposure here on the continent for it to grow.
Gifts for gearheads, Les.
Gifts
for
gearheads, all kinds of good stuff going on. Be sure and download the Speed City app. Hit the win button. You can go to the Speed City broadcast website with Gifts for Gearheads and see the listing there. We're throwing in something new. A 2-for-1 pass to Colin Edwards Boot Camp.
Oh, you're kidding. Awesome. Fantastic.
We'll add details on that later.
Yeah, check it out. Gifts for Gearheads. Thanks for tuning into Speed City. Go to speedcitybroadcast.com. Check out everything we've talked about. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.